You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from actually our own places because we can't be in the studio now. Anyways, past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We want to remind you that we are underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Kyle Shelton, co-founder and CXO of Guild Incorporated. That's Guild with a Y. Kyle, with a Y, how are you doing today?
I am well. How are you, James?
You know, I'm doing all right. I'm a little annoyed that we still have to do this not face-to-face, but
that's right.
We just got to adapt and improvise. That's what entrepreneurs
adapt
do.
Adapt and overcome. Yep.
That's the way we roll. So why don't you tell us, what is Guild Incorporated?
Yes, definitely. So Guild is a networking platform for those who are in the skilled trades. So think carpenters or contractors, plumbers, electricians. And the goal of Guild is to allow these individuals to connect with others who are in the trade. The reason they need to do that is, you know, imagine you are a general contractor and you're tasked with building a house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different aspects to building that home. There's the plumbing, there's the roofing, insulation work. A lot of those skills aren't housed within the company that that general contractor probably own. They're subcontracted out.
Sure.
And right now, the way that they find those subcontractors is word of mouth, people that they have worked with in the past, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when that plumber, say, drops out last minute and it can, you know, potentially push that entire project off schedule by months?
Sure.
They don't have one source to go and find another plumber outside of the contact list that's on their phone and calling around and seeing, hey, are you available to work on this project?
Right.
So Guild is the spot where those contractors can live, and they can show off the projects they've worked on in the past, certifications that they have, any experience that they have that they bring to the table, et cetera, and get connected with those who need the help.
Okay. Nice. So where did the idea for this come from?
Yeah, great question. So it actually came from my co-founder, Kalung. He was working on remodeling his bathroom, and he logged onto Angie's List and had tried to find some companies that could help him do this, and he kept getting burned. And so he thought, I'd like to look into these employees a little bit more to understand their skill set and their quality level. And so he did the first thing that came to mind, which was searching on LinkedIn for these individual employees of the company that's going to come do the bathroom remodel work.
Sure.
Wasn't able to find any of them. Realized that there really wasn't a source. And the reason being is because LinkedIn, very great platform, very white collar focused, right?
Truly.
It's not a great spot for these tradespeople to really live.
Sure.
And that was kind of the genesis. We started chatting about it and then we just went down a rabbit hole and here we are.
That is so interesting. You know, dealing with the trades as a group, I was just having this conversation with someone the other day. It's just challenging, and I'm not really sure exactly why. I get the impression that there's a lot of tradespeople that are very good at what they do, but they were never really taught or maybe even never experienced good customer service, and so they're just not aware, or they're just they never really learned business practices. So pricing, scheduling, communication, all that kind of stuff is just ignored. And they're still making money because there's a lot of people that need their work. Arguably more people need their work than there are people to actually do the work. But it's weird that stuff like this is just overlooked.
Yeah, that it's still that we're still at this stage, right?
And yeah.
You know, I have a ton of respect for people who work in the trades, and I think a lot of it for them is just putting out the next biggest fire, because you're absolutely right that there's not enough workers to support the demand. Right now that gap in the U.S. is about 300,000 workers, and
is
it's
it
only
really?
Getting worse. It's absolutely huge.
That's
and
sick.
It's going to be 10 times that over the next decade.
8% of the country's population? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. That's because there's a lot of people who are in the trades. They're getting older. They're looking to retire. And, you know, in the 90s and the 2000s, anyone who was in school, they got pushed to go into a four-year college, right? They
sure.
go get your degree, get your degree in STEM and whatever.
Right.
And so there's just a lack of supply to help fill in those people who are, you know, retiring and moving away from the industry. And so, you know, that's kind of one of our many goals that we have at Guild, is trying to help make the industry look a little bit more sexy, if you want to call it that.
okay.
Where, you know, someone can go to MACC or Blackhawk Tech or whatever your local tech school, whatever your local tech school might be.
Sure.
And after you're done with that, you hop on the Guild, you create your profile with, you know, the experience that you had while you're at school. And then you can find, you know, someone who can mentor you and help you gain more knowledge post school. You can look for companies that are looking for work, and it kind of gives you that blueprint through
yeah.
technology, which those, you know, those younger individuals would be really looking for. It gives them that blueprint to really leave school and become successful. But
gotcha.
Sorry, I think I might have hopped off your initial question there. You know, tradespeople, I have a lot of respect for them. I think they're kind of the OG entrepreneurs out there, right? Like, they take this one thing that they're really good at. You know, if you're a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
it's carpentry, and they make a business around it, and that's what they do. And the effort that they put in directly correlates to, you know, the success they have as an individual financially, and their ability to improve their lives and their ability to improve their family's lives, right? And sometimes it's hard to, when you have the mindset of the physical work brings you the dollars, it's difficult to look at the other aspects of that job and, you know, really try to refine them, right? Because they're certainly not dumb. They're all very, very intelligent people. But they're just trying to focus on that physical thing that they do best and putting out the next biggest fire, which there are a lot of because there is that demand.
Yeah, it's interesting. We had a landscaper come and do, I shouldn't say we, a neighbor of ours had some people doing some landscaping work. My wife wanted a little bit of landscaping work, some old dead bushes pulled out and all this kind of stuff. So she goes up to the landscapers that were working. She's like, hey, since you're in the neighborhood, here's what I got going on. And they're like, okay, let me get you an estimate. Day later, they stop by and they hand her a torn piece of notebook paper with little scribbled numbers. And she's like, okay, rock and roll, let's do it. The next day, they were there. They're doing a lot of work.
Wow.
And I went to talk to them, and I'm like, what's the story here? How did that guy find you? Because over the course of this day, when they were at our property, two more neighbors came by, and they just did job after job after job in this neighborhood that all started from this one job. And I get the impression that they got these additional jobs because the people just driving past in our neighborhood saw these guys just working hard. It wasn't like you saw guys leaning on shovels. Like, this was a Saturday, I think. I want to say they were there 15 hours straight on that Saturday. It was insane. They had a small army with them. And I was like, okay, I'm looking at this from a business coach's perspective, where I'm like, if a guy comes to me with a quote on a piece of torn notebook paper, my first thought is, oh my gosh, is this your first job? And you're looking at all the things on the business side that they're not doing the textbook version. But in the end, they got the business.
Mm-hmm.
So who am I to judge, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're focusing on at Guild is, and one of the differentiators that, you know, will bring tradespeople to our platform versus, say, a LinkedIn, which is a focus on the actual work that's being done, right? You know, so there are landscapers. As a landscaper, you know, you could work for a company for 20 years, but when I come up and talk to you, that doesn't really give me an idea of the quality of work that you put out.
Right.
And so I think that just kind of goes to show that, you know, when you drive by those guys, you see them working really hard, they're being diligent, you know, hopefully the area around their truck and everything is nice and clean, it looks professional.
Right.
That's probably the number one thing that you'd be worried about is this person going to come in and get the job done?
Right.
So I think that's a great point.
No, it's interesting that you say that, because there's been so many people, I guess contractors that I know, that are using subs, that those subs just fall off the bus.
Yeah. And
whether they don't show up or they make some excuse for having to delay the job or whatever. I have no idea how a lot of stuff gets built, because I feel like there's a lot of people that have no organization that you're relying on to do, they have to do whatever job before the next job comes down the line. And
yep.
All the, like the electrician has to come in before the plumber, whatever.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, and it's too bad there wasn't a system that helped with all of that. Wink, wink.
Yeah, right. I don't know that, I guess from my experience, I don't know that a lot of subcontractors would sit down long enough to listen to the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge. You're right. You're definitely right there. You know, with any business, as an entrepreneur yourself, you'll know that, you know, with any business, a lot of times it's the timing that comes down to everything. You could have mm-hmm. the best product and you know, the best team and everything, but if you're not timed right, then it becomes more of a challenge. And we're maybe a little early, but I think pretty much right on time for a product like this. And one of the companies that's helped us get here is Angie's List.
Oh.
There's technology that's already introduced into this industry that people are starting to learn that they need to be able to use.
Sure.
But it's still going to be a challenge. And so one of the tactics that we're using is, you know, going right after the biggest problem in the industry, which is the lack of workers.
Right.
So we're forming partnerships and speaking regularly with local tech schools and other organizations that help, you know, give individuals the skills that they need to work in the trades industry.
Sure.
And we're connecting with those new tradespeople and also general contractors. And when we can offer a direct kind of conduit into that new talent, then all of a sudden these other subcontractors are going to start missing out. And
right.
When they start to miss out, you know, that's when they'll definitely join the platform.
Oh, I see.
But,
okay.
You know, that's definitely it's a good point, and it's definitely going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenging industry, but
sure.
We're ready to tackle it.
So I guess when I'm looking at Guild, this is more for the one-man show versus the plumbing company or electrician company. Is that right?
Yeah. So if you were going to look at our target audience, mm-hmm. and if you're going to look at construction and contract work as an industry overall, about half mm-hmm. the industry is very commercialized, like the Findorfs of the world.
Sure.
And they have a lot of these different skills in-house. What we're okay. focusing on is the companies that are, say, 25 individuals or 25 employees or smaller.
Gotcha.
With a real focus on the one man shop, you know, who
All right.
might be a plumber and can't bid on a project that requires more than the skill set that he has.
Sure. So we touched on a little bit of this,
mm-hmm.
But I guess I want to get your opinion or your feedback on it. Say I'm a painter, right? And I'm really good at painting houses. I get on Guild, but let's just say I'm a little flaky. Maybe I'm not that good at scheduling stuff, or maybe I just prioritize jobs based on the value they are to me personally, right? Somebody mm-hmm. calls me to paint a 20-lot apartment or something like that. I'll take that over that kitchen that I have to paint the ceiling on, and I may not tell the person with the kitchen because it just won't dawn on me. How do I know that, one, you're a good painter, two, that you're not a flaky person, and you know what I mean? Like the
yeah.
service quality and price, we can assume that their quality is there because they're in the business, but we don't know necessarily about service, or maybe price comes into play there. Can you talk
sure.
about that? If I go on Guild as a contractor to find a sub, are there ratings or reviews or feedback, or how does that work?
So there isn't yet. And when we were initially building out our MVP in the initial product that we wanted to be able to offer, ratings and reviews was very high on the list of things that we wanted to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, I guess the when it comes to reviewing someone's actual work, it's a very emotional thing, right? Like if you work really hard on a project and they get rated like 3 stars, that could make them really not want to use the platform. And
totally.
So, right. And so it's a very sensitive topic.
Sure.
It's something that we want to approach with a lot of diligence. And so we haven't introduced that side of the platform yet.
Okay.
Because we want to make sure that we're introducing the right product. But what it'll probably look like down the road, and I'd say in the next few months, what it'll look like down the road is, have you ever stayed in an Airbnb?
Yeah, many times.
Okay.
Not
so,
recently.
Okay. So for the listeners who maybe haven't stayed in an Airbnb, when you get done staying at an Airbnb, both you and your host, the person's home that you stayed at, have to review each other. And it's not just a, you know, was this person a 5-star host or something like that. It's a little bit more qualitative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was this person clean? Was this person, you know, professional to be around? That's the tactic. That's the approach that we'll take on ratings and reviews. Because not only is that a little bit, it's not as black and white. It allows there to be more facets of a person, which there are. But also, then we can take those individual areas that maybe a contractor needs help with, and we can introduce educational material to that person to help them increase that, you know, that part of their business.
Right.
But short side of the answer, no, we don't have that yet, but we will soon.
That's a, you know, it's so interesting that you say that, right? Because reviews, I've talked to a lot of business owners, many on the show, about reviews and how we as a society will trust the opinion of people that we've never met in regards to reviews and stuff like that more than we would trust maybe a neighbor or a friend, even your mom, right? Giving
yeah,
you a recommendation.
Weird,
just thinking like my mom could tell me, hey, use this plumber. And I would go find some plumber on Angie's List or wherever, right? And I would see that they got 2 stars or however they rate them. And I'd say, oh, I can't use this guy. He's got 2 stars. Even though he may have done work for my mom, did a fantastic job, I'm going to trust these other random people that may or may not even be real more than
right.
I would trust my mom. That's kind of that's where we're at.
Yeah.
So it's
so
a weird.
It,
yeah, it's tough.
And imagine if that, you know, that plumber could be newer to the
right.
business. And maybe he's only got 4 reviews.
Yeah.
In total. And one of them was his first job and it didn't go as well as he would have liked.
Sure.
Right. How do you recover from that?
That's extremely
tough.
That
review is there, you know?
Yeah.
That review is there. Yeah. Same thing. If my mom told me to buy something on Amazon for her
mm-hmm.
kitchen and I went out and it had a 2.5-star rating, no, I'm not going to buy it. like, absolutely not. Sorry, mom.
Yeah.
I love you, but, you know, moving
right.
to the next product.
These random people
same
I've
idea.
Never met before gave us
yeah,
no
it could be the best. It could be the best product in the world, and that's the fear that we have with not spending enough time thinking through the ratings and reviews on Guild. Is we want to make sure that that it's actually helpful and it's not just this black and white, you know, black mirror type of technology that introduced to these guys.
Sure, sure. No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I don't have a good answer for how you could even approach it, right? It almost have to be more than something more specific or more in depth than just how many stars.
Yeah, I think it will be more qualitative. You know, did this person show up on time? Were they professional when they were there? What was the quality of their work? Right.
Sure.
And then, you know, that's collecting the data, and then how you display the data will probably be something along the lines of their profile will show the things that they are exceptional at or are
sure.
class leading in. And then on
mm-hmm.
the back end, we will help them in the areas that they're not. Right. Or something like that. Or I don't know. We're still trying to really hone it in, but
I get it. That's fair.
I think the path that we'll go down.
That's fair. How long has Guild been around?
So we started working on Guild in about a year ago. May of last year is when Kalum, the co-founder, started really considering this idea. And then I jumped on as co-founder in June of last year.
Okay.
And we spent basically all of 2019, refining the MVP, coming up with, you know, the feature set that we want, making mistakes, learning from them. And we launched in, we did a soft launch in April of this year. So it, okay. we haven't been around a lot, very long.
I did not realize that. That's cool. April, yep. you just said we got major pandemic. Let's.
That's cool. right.
That's cool.
It definitely threw a wrench into things. That's for sure. But you know.
Yes.
What are you gonna do? Things like that.
But you yeah. know, like you said before, right? You just adapt, improvise, move on. That's how we do.
That's right. Yeah, you just have to look for the upside. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's you can't let something like this stop you, right?
No,
it's the environment. You gotta understand that that's the environment. You gotta live with that and figure mm-hmm. out the best way to navigate it, right? And mm-hmm. be an opportunist like every entrepreneur is.
Right. So tell me how do you get people the subs? I suppose how do you bring awareness and how do you get them on the platform? Because I imagine for this platform to have any value, you need a lot of subs on there so that any contractor goes on there. They know that they can find some people.
Yep.
So I imagine you guys yep. had to ramp up pretty quick and get people signed on as fast as possible.
Yeah, definitely. And we're still ramping. We're definitely still ramping. We're talking with any and every contractor that'll take our call. We have, you know, social media marketing and social media posts that are out there doing a really good job for us. And you know, pre-COVID, we were planning on driving around to individual construction sites just to talk to everyone, because it takes that for, you know, with a networking platform like this, you need the networking effect to really help it scale. But that
totally.
First chunk of users is very, very, you know, you're just kind of trudging through mud to get them, right? You're just grinding it out. It's very gritty.
Right. That's fair.
So.
So is that to say that you will start out locally here around the Wisconsin area and then branch out from there?
Yep,
or are you trying
right.
to pump
so,
this nationwide?
No, we're focused on the Midwest first.
Okay.
With a more finite focus on Wisconsin and the Madison area because we are here. And then once we get our numbers up regionally, then we'll start focusing on other areas and along the way, you know, we'll learn what truly works, what doesn't work.
Sure.
What are the best avenues to go down? But yeah, it's, you know, for a product like this to really be successful, it's got to be a utility to these tradespeople. It can't
sure.
be just a toy, right? And so that means that it has to benefit them in the area. We can't just get
right.
these people on the app, you know, posting pictures of the work that they've done, because if it doesn't bring the utility at the end of the day, then what value is it?
Right. That's very fair. So have you guys been the ones to code this thing, or do you guys have coders, or how does that work? I guess tell me about the employees that you have, or if you have any.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just me and Kaling right now. It's a
okay.
two-man show.
All right.
And we work with a development company where the developers that we work with are essentially – they're as close to being in-house in Guild as possible.
Okay.
And we do ideation and design, and then we'll interface with the developers, kick off sprints. We manage the sprints entirely, the development sprints, and, you know, do any Q&A that needs to be done, and then get it out to the app source.
Nice. Very cool. So did you guys take on any investment, or have you guys been bootstrapping this thing?
So we've been bootstrapping up until this point. So
wow.
it's you know, that's definitely a side of it that's a little bit scary, right? You see your bank account just getting drained, but that's a part of the dream, right? So we've just been bootstrapping up until this point, and we had some pretty good conversations going with some VC firms that were kind
okay.
of shot dead or frozen once this whole COVID situation
sure.
You know, became a reality. And so we certainly had to take a step back and kind of take a deeper look at the finances and make sure that we're making the best decisions that can get us the farthest,
right?
To be able to get to that point. But yep, up until this point, it's been completely bootstrapped.
Wow, that's cool. That's clever.
Yep.
So do you, what kind of money would you be looking at bringing on for investment?
Yeah, so we're doing a seed round right now.
Oh, you are?
We've
okay.
been talking. Yep, we're doing a seed round right now. We've been working with some different investors. We already have 30,000 committed. We're aiming to be north of the 300,000 range. That
okay.
would allow us to be comfortable and hire on the, you know, the skill sets that we need, hire
mm-hmm.
more weaknesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we're at right now. We've got some good promising meetings coming up in the next few weeks.
Sure.
To finish off the seed round, but yeah, we're currently raising at the moment.
Gotcha. So that leads me to my next question, which is probably what all of them want to ask you eventually, is how do you guys make money? Or how will you make
yeah,
money?
Definitely. So it's always going to be free to join Guild. Above all else, it will always be free because we need that networking effect to really
sure.
help. But outside of that, it's premium features and advertising, right? So on the premium features side of the equation, think project management software that helps those who are in the trades. Let me back up. Project management software where, you know, if you're a one-man shop and you're coming onto the trades and you need a different skill set to help you with a project,
mm-hmm.
you can manage that project with that other person who you haven't worked with before, all from
sure.
one spot, from the same spot that you found them. And then back office and admin, where you're able to, you know, issue invoices, receive payments, pay other individuals, you know, insurance, SOWs and warranties and all of that that comes along with the trades. And then a job board as well, you know, being able to find work, to post jobs that you might have. And so these are all premium features that we intend to introduce down the road. And essentially what we're trying to do is, you know, back earlier in the conversation when we were talking about, you know, like a carpenter, their main skill set is carpentry, and that's what they want to focus on. Everything else that's in the business that we can take off of their plate with the use of technology, that's what we'd like to be able to do
mm-hmm.
and to offer that, right? But the core of this all is the network, right? And then advertising comes into play where, you know, you could have like a Milwaukee tool advertising on the platform
sure.
for a new industrial tool that they might have, right? It's a very focused group of individuals, so that could
sure.
be pretty powerful too.
Nice. So this goes way beyond just a networking software,
yep.
a networking app.
Yep, definitely. Absolutely. Our the model that we are, the company that we're modeling after is LinkedIn.
Okay.
So it's instead of trying to create a, you know, two-sided marketplace, it's just getting all those individuals together. And if
sure.
we can get all those individuals together, then there are all kinds of things that we can do to help make their life more efficient, to help bring them more work, to help put more money in their pocket. You know, it's a very powerful thing. But
yeah.
the first step in that is getting those contractors together in one spot.
Nice. That sounds super cool. So is the whole accounting aspect, invoicing, all that kind of stuff, project management, is that in the works or is that up and running?
It's in the works.
Okay.
And matter of fact, the project management side of things, we were initially going to include that in the initial product feature set when we
mm-hmm.
rolled out. It was becoming too complex and it was taking too much financing to get
sure.
done, you know, to get done right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hit pause in it. That's probably, let's call it 80% complete. We could get that done and rolled out within like a month if we wanted to.
Okay. Could you really?
So yeah, we really could. It's pretty much built out, just
okay.
the final kind of user analysis, I guess we'd want to do with it to, you know, work with users to make sure it has everything that they would need. But back office and admin is further down the road. Project management would be probably the first step that we would go. But
Gotcha.
You know, for now we're just trying to make the product itself as intuitive and easy to use as possible. So, you know, it we want to make sure that the product incites more users coming on it instead of, you know, deterring them away.
Sure.
The product needs to be great.
That is cool. How many subs do you have on there right now?
We're at a couple hundred right now.
Okay. I mean, that's not the end of the world. You're only a month into it. So that's...
Yep, for sure. Yeah, and it's been like I said, it was a soft launch, so we haven't put the pedal all the way to the floor when it comes to user acquisition. It's pretty selective at this point, I guess you could say. Early adopters.
Okay.
Right? And contractors who are good at or willing to give feedback and really work with us on this type of platform.
Sure.
But we've got a huge list of over 2,000 who are waiting, ready to jump on once we let them.
Wow. That's cool. So tell me a story about if you have subs on there, but it looks like just going to the website, you're essentially pointing us to the app itself. So this is not something that necessarily a homeowner would directly use. Is that right? This is more for contractors to find subs?
Yep, that's correct. It's kind of a contractors only kind of network right now.
So those, the contractors and the subs, they'll have their own lingo and know how to communicate with each other.
Yep, definitely. Okay. Yeah, there's a messaging aspect of the platform where those contractors, subcontractors, general contractors, whoever you might be, can communicate with someone you want to potentially work with.
Gotcha. I was just going to ask that. That's awesome.
Yep. Yep.
Very
so you
cool.
can search for, you can say, I need a plumber that's in the Madison area that's currently available for work.
Mm-hmm.
Find those people, look at their profile, look at the projects that they've worked on in the past, so you get an idea, a sense for the type of work they do, right? And then add them into the connection and shoot them a message. Hey, I'm working on a project. I really need, you know, help in this area. Are you available, you know, in 2 weeks to help me with this?
Sure. So do the subs have to update whether they're available or not available, or is that just ask them and find out?
Yep. There is a way to indicate if you're available for work or not. It's incredibly easy to use. You just pop onto your profile and it's a quick toggle right from your profile. So like two taps. And we wanted to be able to have that because, you know, there's a lot of times, especially right now with how kind of shaky the economy is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times that, yeah, that's right. There's a lot of times that a job will get canceled, you know, the day of, or maybe an inspector hasn't gotten there to okay you for the next step yet.
Sure.
And so we wanted to make sure there was the ability for, you know, a person who's in that position to raise their hand and say, hey, I'm available for work right now if anyone needs help with anything. And so, yeah, they can just real easily on their profile toggle whether they are available for work or not.
That is super cool. That is super cool. So tell me, if you're getting into the whole the invoicing and all that kind of stuff, does that mean that you have to get into the whole credit card processing and all that jazz as well?
Yep. At some point, we'd have to, you know, it's what's the – how do we make it easy for people, right? And everyone uses credit cards these days for, you know, various reasons. And so, yep, we'd have to definitely offer that.
Gotcha. All right. Wow, that seems like a huge undertaking.
in a good way.
It is.
It's a lot to do. And there is, it's, you know, sometimes actually it's a struggle to communicate to investors that we're talking with all of the possibilities that are out there with something like this without seeming like we're, you know, a rabbit in a field just bouncing back and forth from one to the other. We have a pretty clear strategic plan to move forward. Right now, number one is build the network and make sure the platform is good to build the network. Like first and foremost, you know, you got to have the product and you got to have the distribution.
Right.
And then from there, we'll start introducing these features product by product that allow us to build to something greater.
Nice. So
just
do
like
the
everything.
Yeah.
It's just like everything in life. You know, you got to solve, you just have to problem solve and solve for the situation.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and it's nothing but experience will show you what you need to tweak, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the contractors that will be hiring these subs, do they create accounts as well?
Yep.
Okay. And they essentially can create an account at no cost.
Yep.
Okay.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and one of the nice things about it, with our profiles being so project oriented,
mm-hmm.
it's really easy for you to kind of have your project portfolio there.
Mm-hmm.
So that way when you're talking to a consumer, a lot of times we go to trade shows and we're working with contractors on a regular basis. A lot of times they'll try to show a consumer some of the work that they've done, and they're sitting there browsing through the photos on their phone, you know, like all of them, including
sure.
when they were at the beach last weekend with their family, right? And so it's nice to kind of have all that in one spot. So
sure.
there's you know, kind of ancillary benefits to creating these profiles on our own outside of just finding work or, you know, being found, I guess you could say.
Right. So what do you see for the future, let's say in the next year, and then let's go out to 3 years from there for Guild?
That's a really good question. So
I'm understanding you're like a month into it. So like, oh, yeah, we got this all figured out, right?
It's easy, right? It's easy. Yeah. So over the next year, it's focusing on the network and building the network.
Okay.
If we can get the investment to help us build the feature sets and to really put some money into marketing, that will definitely help with that. But
mm-hmm.
we are completely focused on the network over the next year.
Okay.
And then from there, once we have the network built up, then it's kind of game on, right? Then we can start offering these products and features. We can start introducing them and helping to make these contractors' lives a little bit more simple. You know, there can be an education aspect of the platform where we're helping to really enrich the overall community, whether that be from, you know, the business that they're doing on a regular basis and the professionalism, or, you know, taking, you know, maybe one of the best plumbers that are in the nation and having them actually teach on the platform, right?
Oh.
So, you know, there's just a lot of different directions you can go, but
sure.
right now we're just focused on the network.
That's very cool. That's extremely cool. You can do a lot of stuff here. So I have to ask you this question,
yeah.
and I don't mean to be rude to any of the contractors
mm-hmm.
out there. But so I have calls on call, right? We answer phones for a fair number of contractors.
Yeah.
And subcontractors. Many Midwest, but a few across the country. And one of the challenges is just being able to present the service to contractors and not just have them gloss over because we're essentially offering something that they have never heard of before or haven't really
yep.
thought of before. You know, it's not a truck, it's not a hammer, it's not how to get an inspection done quickly. Like, it's something that is outside of the scope of what they typically do or even know that they need. So how do you get over that hurdle?
I think with the understanding that, you know, you're not going to win the battle on one swipe.
Sure.
I guess you could say, you know, so one of the things that we've been focusing on at the beginning is finding those early adopters. Because
okay.
that's what it's going to take, right? Because the early adopter who's in the trades,
mm-hmm.
which actually can be pretty easily found on Instagram.
Sure.
Those early adopters who are in the trades, you know, they're willing to pick this up and give it a try. And they're going to keep kind of coming back to the platform and looking at it on a weekly or monthly basis, right? Or best case scenario, daily basis.
Sure.
Once we get that, you know, it'll slowly start to seep into the community where they can be the champion for Guild and introduce it and explain it to the person who maybe wouldn't if us as a complete stranger were talking to them about it right now.
Sure.
Right. So if we can get those champions and those early adopters, that's going to really be helpful. And the other thing is, as soon as it very clearly can help put extra money in your pocket, that's a very easy win for a lot of these contractors. If you can help make my life easier, more efficient, and also put more money in my wallet, I mean, it's a done deal, right?
That's fair. That's totally fair. So your business partner, is it Kalum?
Yep, Kalum.
Okay. So it looks like you guys must have worked at Fetch together? Is that Fetch
yep.
Rewards? Okay.
That's right. Yeah, that was the second startup I was part of. I think the third that he was a part of.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't work in the same department, but we always got along really well. And
okay.
It's a really, really good dynamic between him and I.
So when Kalum came to you and he's like, "Hey, Kyle, what's going on? I got this sweet idea for an app." How did you react to that?
So I heard the idea out. We started chatting back and forth about it. Started chatting about, you know, some of the concerns that some of the same questions that you just have been bringing up over the last hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, then I kind of went out and did my research. Does this exist right now? Is it something that's really needed, right?
Sure.
And him and I, you know, we worked so well together in the past that it was kind of a, why not? Let's try it out. You got to just kind of take that leap, right? But, yeah, I mean, I certainly did my due diligence, that's for sure.
Well, I was looking at your history, and what initially I was like, oh, you worked at Yamaha. You are automatically cool now.
Yeah, that was between Fetch and now. That was an interesting transition. I wanted to see if, you know, working in the corporate world in an industry. I started riding motorcycle when I was 4. Motorsports is a huge passion of mine.
Nice.
And I wanted to see if working in that industry was something that I'd want to do long term.
Yeah.
And working for Yamaha was absolutely fantastic. I had nothing but good things to say about it. But, you know, when you have that kind of entrepreneurial bug, I just found myself always coming back to different ideas. And, you know, I'd work with startups here and there along the way. And, you know, eventually you get the right team, you get the right product, you get the right vision. I had to go for it.
Sure. That's cool. So does that, you left Yamaha to start this, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we were working on it for, well, like I said, since June of last year, and both Kalung and I went full-time Guild in February of this year.
Wow. That is cool.
It's a scary thing. You know, I think that's probably one of the, a lot of people are entrepreneurial and like they have that spirit. Making that jump from a secure job,
mm-hmm.
right, that treats you well and you enjoy, making
mm-hmm.
a jump from there, stepping off into just an unknown abyss, it's a hard thing to do.
Oh,
it's
totally.
Definitely a hard thing to do. But, you know, for me, I guess, I've always over my entire life, I look to I love talking to the older generations,
mm-hmm.
people who are more experienced, because it's free knowledge, right? They have
yeah.
so much experience and you can learn from that experience all the time. And so I just always like having those conversations. And it seemed like, and this is going to be a daft way to put this, but the older people who were more miserable or had resentment, they're the ones who didn't go after the dreams that they had. They're not the ones who did and failed. So, you know, for me, when you come along an opportunity that you really believe in and are willing to put your full force behind, if you don't take that jump, you're only going to sit there and say, what if?
Yeah.
If you do, you gain so much experience. And even if you fail, which we're not going to, even if
mm-hmm.
you fail, you'll still learn a ton.
Yeah.
And come out of it better. Maybe you don't fail. Maybe you succeed, which we will.
Right.
And that's just the way that I kind of look at those things.
That is cool. That is, yeah, it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't kind of thing.
That's right.
There's a punishment for complacency is what it there comes is. Down to. And you don't necessarily know what that punishment is because you don't know what you're missing out on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But that's cool. That's admirable. That's exciting.
It's fun. It's definitely a lot of fun. And you know, you'll learn a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the fun of it for me is I never really want to stop learning and growing. And
sure.
it forces you to do it. You have to.
You
have to survive. Yeah. You have to learn, right? It's the only option.
Yeah, grow or die. So are you married?
I am.
Okay. So how did you tell your wife that you're quitting your job and starting a business?
Oh, man. You know, I am I'm super lucky, actually, in that regard, because I've always – we have her name is Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit about her, she's a bit of a unicorn.
Okay.
In that she rides motorcycle, too. She's in the motorsports as much as I am. She's a gamer. She does that on her downtime. She's going to school for accounting. She's going to be an accountant.
Nice.
She's just this wonderful person. I've always had really open communication with her, and she's mm-hmm. always known how much I've wanted to do something like this.
Yeah.
And so it really honestly wasn't that much of a challenge when it got to the point of saying, okay, I think it's time for me to leave Yamaha, because she was supportive. You know, obviously there was the questions of, are we financially able to do this? Are we ready to do this? And luckily I had, you know, we'd done well enough in the past few years that I was.
Sure.
But I don't know. I guess my communication with her on this kind of thing has always been open enough that conversation really actually wasn't as difficult as I could see it being.
That is super cool.
That's all to her. I mean, she's super supportive.
Grateful. Nice. You're a lucky man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So if we were to say, throw this podcast out to the world, who should we concentrate mm-hmm. on marketing it to? Is it mostly the subs that you're looking for, or is it angel investors, or
oh man,
all of the above, you know?
Well, the thing that I'm most worried about right now is gaining, is building the network of guild. So
sure.
That would be my number one priority. Angel investors, if they happen to listen to this and want to get in mm-hmm. touch, I am open to every conversation that they want to have. and I would also say, because that last bit, you know, potential entrepreneurs, because,
yeah.
you know, hearing that, you know, it's not like we're not at the end of this. We're not at the finish line right now.
No.
And it's a struggle, right? And it's a grind. I think you can probably hear that. It really is a challenge. But one of the coolest things that I actually almost didn't expect coming into this was how supportive the entrepreneurial community is. We were fortunate enough to be in one of the Generator's cohorts, G-Beta.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Yeah, the amount of support that community has, it's really, really incredible.
Yeah.
Very surprising. So, you know, future entrepreneurs, that'd be a good group of people for this to go to as well.
That's super cool. You were in the G-Beta program last year?
Yeah, so we were in, it was over the winter.
Okay.
We were in G-Beta Beloit. That cohort is supported in part by Diane Hendricks. She's helping build up that community down there, so it really made sense for us. And
yeah,
we had all kinds of support and good knowledge, and it's helped us quite a bit.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
They probably had a... Well, they probably had the context to connect you with a lot of good people, probably investors included.
They did. Yep, they did. They definitely did.
Nice.
Very helpful.
So outside of collecting users, what has been the biggest challenge that you maybe didn't necessarily see? And let's just say besides the whole virus thing going on.
Good question.
All the asterisks in there, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, and I apologize because we have to cut this off because there's going to be a lot of dead air in here.
Oh, no worries.
I think the one of the bigger challenges was early on in my relationship with my co-founder, because that's new. And when you decide to co-found a business with someone, you essentially become married to them, right? And it doesn't matter how good of friends you were up until that point. It's a different type of relationship. And it took us actually getting into G Beta and then saying you really needed to define your roles for us to really get to a point of being having good flow and being cohesive and working forward very, very collectively. And, you know, we never really had huge problems until that point. You know, it just wasn't, you could tell that it wasn't quite perfect. And, you know, those kind of social relationships like that, where it's not black and white, you know, relationships they're never black and white. That was definitely a challenge. It was a challenge getting that in order, but, you know, we it's lucky that we were able to work through any of the issues that we had, and now we're just in a fantastic spot.
Very cool.
You know, one of the other big challenges that we had was the development team that we initially started working with.
Okay.
They weren't living up to the level that we had expected.
Sure.
And it was forcing us to move slower, and it was becoming a huge frustration point. And, you know, that was, it's a challenge moving away from a group of developers, because if you've ever worked with developers before, they don't really like inheriting code, right? Because everyone architects a little bit differently.
Sure.
Right? Everyone builds a little bit differently.
Yeah.
It'd be like if a general contractor had to pick up on a house halfway through, right? It's just, it's not quite that easy.
Sure. They're going to want to fix things.
So making the decision of moving away from a company that was very knowledgeable about what we were trying to accomplish and moving to another one, that was a pretty huge challenge, actually.
Sure.
Pretty big undertaking.
I can completely understand that, because we've worked with a couple coders just individually, and some are super easy to work with and others are not. Some, just from a communication aspect.
It's a challenge, and I don't know, that it's a whole different world. It's a whole different world, and you need to be able to make the most of what you're working with, right?
Yeah.
Because enough said.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Kyle, I feel like I could talk to you for hours, so I appreciate you being on the show here.
Absolutely. It's been an extreme pleasure.
Yeah, I feel like in another year, you are going to be on billboards and stuff like that. So I'm glad that I found you when you're just starting out here.
Well, I'm always open to the conversation. So if you're ever in the area, feel free to hit me up and we can grab a beer if that's a possibility in the future.
Cool. Oh my gosh, if we can't have a beer, well, this is Wisconsin. We got we have one
That's
job.
Right.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kyle. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you originally from the Sun Prairie Community Studios. Currently, it's just in my office and wherever Kyle is. Underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on the web, please like, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Kyle Shelton, co-founder and CXO of Guild Incorporated. Kyle, how can people find Guild and you? Is it what's the easiest to go to?
Easiest way is to search us on the App Store, G-Y-L-D. We should be the first one that comes up. You can also go to our website, guild.in. Or if you want to personally reach out to me, my personal email is kyle@guild.in, G-Y-L-D.in.
Awesome. I appreciate you being on the show, Kyle.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.